Right, let's dive into a Supreme Court case that's pretty much legendary in property law. Penn Central Transportation Company v. New York City. You know, you've probably heard of the Penn Central test.
Oh, yeah.
That came out of it.
Yeah.
But the story behind it, I think, is way more interesting than just like a dry legal doctrine.
Well, and it's so interesting, too, because you get right into this battle, this classic battle between individual property rights and then the government coming in and saying, well, wait a second. We think that this is important to preserve.
Okay, so picture this.
Yeah.
It's 1968. You own Grand Central Terminal. Which is an architectural gem, and you're thinking...
And real estate.
Yeah, prime real estate.
Right.
How can we turn this into a cash cow?
Right.
So they come up with this idea. Let's put a 55-story office tower right on top of the terminal.
Ambitious.
Ambitious is putting it mildly.
Yeah.
But there's a catch. New York City had just designated the terminal as a historical landmark, meaning any changes to the exterior, they needed the city's... permission.
Right.
And they were not going to let a skyscraper overshadow
his icon.
They said no.
They rejected the proposal.
Yeah.
And this sparked a legal battle.
Of course.
That went all the way to the Supreme Court.
Wow.
Penn Central cried foul and they said, hey, the city's basically taking away our property rights without giving us just compensation.
Mm-hmm.
Classic Fifth Amendment showdown.
Yeah. So let's pause there for a second because I think it's important to kind of unpack this taking concept. Because, you know, we think about the government taking property, you know, maybe to build a highway or something.
Right. A physical taking.
A physical taking. But a regulatory taking is when a government regulation is so restrictive that it's almost the same as if the government had come in and physically taken your property. And so that's what Penn Central was arguing here.
You're saying these landmark rules are a regulatory taking. So the stage is set.
Mm-hmm.
Property rights versus historical preservation.
Yeah.
What happens next?
Well, this case, it goes kind of back and forth. So first, Penn Central wins in trial court.
Okay.
But then they get shut down at the appellate division.
Uh-oh.
Then they go to the New York Court of Appeals.
Uh-oh.
Lose again, but they're not giving up. They appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court.
They take it all the way to the top.
All the way to the top, yeah.
So picture the nine justices.
Yeah.
They're all huddled together. They're deliberating over this clash.
Big question.
What was the big question they were trying to answer?
Yeah, the question was... Did New York City's denial of Penn Central's building plans, did that constitute a taking under the Fifth Amendment? And if so, did they have to compensate Penn Central?
Okay.
This is where the Penn Central test comes in.
This is it.
Yeah.
This three-pronged test.
Yeah.
It comes out of this case.
Right.
And it's still the gold standard for figuring out when a regulation goes too far. Hmm. So walk us through it.
Okay. So the first prong of the test is... Did the regulation significantly diminish the property's value?
Okay.
The second prong is, did the regulation interfere with reasonable investment-backed expectations?
Okay.
And lastly, and this one's kind of interesting, was the regulation designed to benefit the public good, or was it unfairly targeting a specific property owner?
Okay, so it's not just about whether the owner loses some money. It's really about why.
I'd say.
And how much. And what the government was even trying to achieve in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So how did the court actually apply this new test, this brand new test, to Penn Central's skyscraper?
Well, they looked at the economic impact first, and they weren't totally convinced by Penn Central's argument. You know, they pointed out that Penn Central could still use the terminal as a train station. I mean, that was its primary purpose. They could still generate income from the commercial spaces within the terminal.
But wouldn't ditching this 55-story skyscraper be a major financial blow? I mean, this is Manhattan. This is prime real estate.
Oh, for sure. It was a big financial blow. But the court was really interested in these air rights.
Air rights?
Yeah, air rights. So the right to develop the space above a building.
Oh, okay.
And they pointed out that Penn Central could potentially transfer these rights to other properties. So maybe they could build taller on other properties or even sell those rights.
Oh, that's interesting. So the court acknowledged there was a financial hit, but then they said, well, you still have options.
Right. You still have options.
What about investment-backed expectations? I mean, did the court consider that Penn Central bought the terminal? Presumably with the hope of eventually, you know, building something grand on top of it?
Yeah, they did. And they looked back at the history, and what they saw was that Penn Central had been running this as a train station for decades.
Right.
There was no sign that they had ever planned to build a skyscraper. So the court basically said, look, you bought this knowing that its primary use was as a train station. You can't just assume you can build a skyscraper on top of any property you buy, mm-hmm. especially when it's a designated landmark.
So they were considering the context, right? Really? The history.
Exactly.
Not just these kind of hypothetical future plans.
Right.
What about the third prong, the character of the government's action? Was that a big factor in the decision?
Oh, absolutely. This is where the court really kind of dug into the reasoning behind the city's landmark laws.
Okay.
And they emphasized that preserving historical treasures, this benefits everyone. It's not just about Penn Central or any one individual. And they also pointed out that the landmark laws don't actually involve the city taking possession of the property. It's really about regulating the appearance.
So they were basically saying this is a legitimate effort to protect a piece of history. They weren't like specifically targeting Penn Central.
Right. It wasn't arbitrary.
Yeah.
It was for a good reason.
So they saw it as for the common good. So they recognized the city's right to regulate, but they also had to think about the financial burden for Penn Central.
Yeah.
This is where those TDRs come in.
Yes, exactly. Transferable development rights.
Transferable development rights, TDRs. Okay. Refresh my memory. How do those fit into all of this?
So think of TDRs as a way to kind of compensate for these development restrictions. Basically, New York City said, okay, Penn Central, you can't build your skyscraper above Grand Central, but you can transfer those unused development rights to other properties that you own. So it's almost like a consolation prize.
Yeah.
Maybe they couldn't build the skyscraper there,
right.
but they could potentially build taller structures elsewhere, or they could even sell those rights.
Interesting. So the court saw these TDRs as a way to kind of make the regulation a little less harsh.
Exactly. Balance things out a bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that why they rule in favor of the city?
Well, it was definitely a factor, but it's important to remember it wasn't a complete victory for either side. What the court did was they acknowledged the city's right to regulate, but they also gave Penn Central a potential way to, you know, maybe make up for some of their losses. It's a really fascinating case because it's not so black and white.
It's like this compromise.
Right.
Did Penn Central ever try to argue that the airspace above the terminal was separate, like its own property, you know, something they had to develop without even touching the terminal?
They did. They tried that argument, hoping that maybe they could kind of isolate that airspace and say, look, our rights are being restricted here.
Clever.
Yeah. But the court said, no, no, no. We're not going to slice and dice this property up. You have to look at the entire thing. And that's where the parcel as a whole rule comes in.
Parcel as a whole.
Yeah, basically it means you can't chop a property into pieces and then claim a taking just on one little part of it. You have to consider the whole thing, the whole property and its overall value.
So no loophole for Penn Central there.
No loophole there.
The court was saying you got to consider the whole property, not just the part that you think is going to make you the most money.
Exactly.
Okay, this Penn Central test.
Yeah.
It's really intricate. It really shows you how complex property law is. But I'm guessing not everyone was happy with the decision.
Oh, you're right. There was a pretty fiery dissent from Justice Rehnquist that we should definitely talk about.
Okay, yeah, let's hear it.
He argued that the burden of preserving Grand Central was unfairly placed on Penn Central.
Yeah.
He basically thought the city was making them pay for a public benefit without really compensating them for it.
That sounds like a valid concern.
Mm-hmm.
Did he go into detail about why he felt this way? What were his big criticisms of the majority's opinion?
Yeah, he took issue with a few things. First, he really felt that the city's actions were a classic taking.
Hmm.
Like, they imposed this big financial burden on Penn Central without the company getting anything in return.
Right.
It was a cost they had to bear for the sake of the public, and Rehnquist just didn't think that was right.
What about those TDRs? What did he think about those?
He wasn't a fan. He thought they were kind of like giving someone a lottery ticket instead of an actual guaranteed payment. Because, you know, TDRs, they depend on the market if there are even places where you can use them. So he just felt like it was a really unreliable way to make up for the losses from the regulation.
So they're not a sure thing.
Not a sure thing. And, you know, he had this one line in his dissent that really sticks with me. He said, the city shifted preservation costs solely onto Penn Central.
Wow, that's a pretty powerful statement.
It is, and it really gets to the heart of this whole tension between, you know, individual property rights
right.
and the idea of the common good.
So what happened after the case? Did Penn Central ever get to build their skyscraper? Or did the city get their way with Grand Central?
You know, kind of ironically, Penn Central never got to build their skyscraper. They were already struggling financially, and they actually ended up declaring bankruptcy. And Grand Central, unfortunately, it fell into disrepair. And eventually, it was actually the Metropolitan Transportation Authority, a public entity, that had to step in and use public funds to restore it.
So in a way, Justice Rehnquist was right?
Yeah.
The public ended up paying?
In a way, yeah.
For the preservation?
Yeah.
Even though
the court ruled?
The court had ruled the other way.
It's interesting how things played out. And, you know, it raises questions about the long-term impact of that Penn Central test.
Yeah. Did the court strike the right balance?
Right.
Like, was it fair to put that burden on this one owner? And did it actually lead to their demise?
Yeah.
And the public having to come in and fix everything?
Exactly.
I mean, these are the kind of questions that are still being debated today.
Absolutely.
This has been such an interesting deep dive, you know. We've covered the history, the legal stuff, those dissenting voices, and then even what happened afterward.
Yeah. We've just scratched the surface, though.
Yeah.
I mean, this case, it didn't just settle a dispute. It really changed the way we think about property law. It's a case that's still being talked about in courtrooms and in law schools all over the place.
And it's shaping how we think about things like property rights and urban planning and how we preserve this stuff.
Yes, huge.
It's like, this is the kind of stuff that makes property law actually really interesting.
Right. It's not just dry and boring. It's got real stories.
Yeah. And there's more to talk about.
Yeah.
We're going to be back to explore the lasting impact of the Penn Central case and how it continues to shape property rights in the United States. So stay with us.
Stay tuned.
Welcome back to our deep dive into Penn Central v. New York City. We've been breaking down this landmark case, tracing its path through the courts, and really getting into that Penn Central test.
Mm.
But now let's zoom out a bit.
Yeah.
What kind of ripples did this decision send through the legal world?
Oh, it's amazing, really.
Yeah.
This case is still echoing through property law today.
Wow.
It wasn't just, you know, a single decision. It set a precedent, a whole framework for how we think about balancing those individual property rights with the public good.
Right, right.
I mean, think about it. We see this tension all the time, right? Historic preservation, environmental regulations, zoning disputes. The Penn Central test pops up everywhere.
So it's become the go-to tool for the courts.
Yeah,
probably. When they hit these... you know,
these tricky situations.
Yeah, these gray areas where regulations might be overstepping.
Exactly.
Can you give us some examples? Like, how has this Penn Central test actually been used in other cases?
Okay. So one that comes to mind is Lucas v. South Carolina Coastal Council.
Okay.
This was back in 1992. The Supreme Court said that a state regulation that basically prevented a landowner from building anything on his beachfront property that was a taking.
Wow.
Yeah. The regulation basically made his land worthless, economically speaking. And the court sided with the owner.
So in Lucas, the impact was just too much.
Yeah, too far.
They really destroyed the value.
Right.
It sounds like the court is trying to walk this tightrope.
Yeah, it's a balance.
They want to let the government regulate things, but also make sure property owners aren't being crushed in the process.
Exactly.
What about other cases? Are there any others that show how this test flexes and bends a little bit?
Oh, yeah, for sure. There's a case, Tahoe Sierra Preservation Council via Tahoe Regional Planning Agency from 2002. This one dealt with a temporary freeze on development around Lake Tahoe.
Oh, interesting.
They were trying to protect the lake.
Makes sense, yeah.
So you see, it's not always about historic buildings.
Right.
It can be environmental protection, too.
Right, but it's the same basic tensions. Individual rights versus the wider public interest.
Exactly. So in this case, the court applied the Penn Central test and said even temporary regulations, those can be a taking off.
Oh, wow.
If they're too restrictive. But they also said the length of time matters, right?
Sure.
A short-term pause, maybe that's okay. But if you're talking years and years and it really hurts the owner, that could be a problem.
So the Penn Central test is more like it's not just a
It's not a checklist.
Yeah, it's not just like a...
It's more like a...
A rigid formula.
Yeah, a set of guidelines.
It gives courts some wiggle room.
Right, some judgment.
And that's what makes it so interesting, right?
Oh, totally.
It keeps everyone guessing where that line is.
Exactly.
Between the public good and those property rights.
It's the debate that never ends.
This deep dive has been a real journey. We've looked at the history behind Penn Central, gotten into the weeds of that test.
Big time.
Even heard those dissenting voices and kind of traced it forward to see what happened afterward.
Yeah, it's amazing how much this one case impacts how we think about property and development today.
It's not just some abstract legal theory.
No, not at all.
This is about real people.
Real community.
Real communities trying to figure out how to preserve their history while also making progress.
It's a constant back and forth.
Exactly. And this case is a great example of that struggle.
Absolutely.
It's a conversation that's still going on today.
Mm-hmm.
And Penn Central, that case, it's a good reminder of how complex it all is and how much is at stake.
Definitely. And, you know, the Penn Central test, even with its flaws and the debates around it, it's helped us work through these tough questions. It gives us a way to think about finding that balance between what individuals want to do with their property and what's good for everybody.
That balance is hard to find. This deep dive has been really eye-opening. We've dug into the legal stuff, the historical context, and the big picture impact of this case.
Totally. And as we wrap up, I want to leave our listeners with one last thought.
Okay.
Penn Central didn't give us all the answers, but it gave us the right questions to ask.
I like that.
So as you run into these issues in your own lives, think about those lessons from Penn Central. Think about the costs and benefits, the long-term consequences.
Right.
Have those conversations. Try to find solutions that respect both sides.
Right.
It's a balancing act.
Yeah.
And the conversation never really ends.
Great point to end on. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into the twists and turns of Penn Central v. New York City.
Yeah.
Hope you've learned something new.
Me too.
And maybe even, you know, have a new appreciation for how important this case still is today. Until next time.
Yeah.
Keep those legal minds curious. Welcome back. We've been digging into Penn Central v. New York City, you know, untangling that famous Penn Central test.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm thinking, like, what's the bigger picture here? How did this case actually change the way we think about property rights?
Oh, it's huge. It's way bigger than just one building.
Right.
It's like a blueprint for how we balance these things, individual property rights and what's good for everyone, the public good.
Okay, so it set a precedent.
Exactly. I mean, even today, you see this case popping up all the time in courtrooms, in law schools.
It's still relevant.
Absolutely. And it's not just about historic buildings either, right? Think about environmental laws.
Right, right.
Zoning, all these areas where the government's trying to regulate what people do with their land.
And that's where this Penn Central test comes in.
Exactly. It gives us a way to analyze those tough situations.
So it's more than just history.
Oh, yeah.
It's a tool?
A tool that's still being used today. It helps us sort through these complicated issues, these conflicts.
Okay, so walk us through that. Like, how has this test actually been used in other cases, in real life?
All right. So one case that really stands out, it's called Lucas v. South Carolina Coastal Council.
Oh, okay. I've heard of that one.
Yeah. It was back in 1992. And basically, this guy bought some beachfront property in South Carolina.
Okay.
But then the state passed this regulation that basically said he couldn't build anything on it.
Wow.
To protect the coast, you know? But the court, they looked at it and said, wait a minute. This regulation's so strict, it's basically wiped out any value this guy had in his land.
It's like they took it from him without actually taking it.
Exactly, and that's what the court said. They said, this is a taking. You got to compensate him.
So the government went too far.
Too far. They had a good goal to protect the coastline, but they went too far.
Right.
And that's the key takeaway, right? It's a balancing act.
Yeah. You can't just trample on individual rights.
Right. Even if you're trying to do something good.
Okay, so Lucas, that's a good example of the test in action. Any others? Like something that shows how the test can be applied in different situations.
Oh, yeah. There's another one that's interesting. It's Tahoe Sierra Preservation Council v. Tahoe Regional Planning Agency.
Okay, say that again.
Tahoe Sierra Preservation Council v. Tahoe Regional Planning Agency.
Okay, Tahoe Sierra. Got it.
This one was about Lake Tahoe.
Beautiful place.
Right. And they had put a temporary hold on development around the lake.
To protect the environment.
Exactly. To protect the water quality, the ecosystem.
So it wasn't about historic buildings this time.
Nope.
But it was still that same tension, you know, the individual versus...
To collective good.
Yeah, what's good for everyone.
And the court, They used the Penn Central test again.
Okay.
But they said that even a temporary regulation
mm-hmm.
can be a taking if it's too restrictive.
Interesting.
Yeah. But they also said, look, how long it lasts, that's a really important factor. If it's just a short pause,
right.
maybe that's okay. But if you're talking about years and years and it's causing real hardship.
Yeah. Then it's a problem.
Then it might be a taking.
Okay. So it seems like the Penn Central test, it's not just a...
It's not a cookie cutter.
Yeah, like a one size fits all.
Exactly.
It's got to be flexible.
Right. It gives the courts some room to consider the specifics of each case.
So it's guidelines, not...
Guidelines, yeah. Not hard and fast rules.
And I guess that's why it's so interesting, right? It keeps the debate alive.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what makes property law so fascinating.
Yeah.
It's always evolving.
Wow, this has been quite a journey going through all of this.
It has.
You know, we started with the history of Penn Central, got into the nitty-gritty of that test, and even now, we're talking about how it's still shaping things today.
And it's more than just legal theory.
Man.
It's about real people, real places.
Yeah, like communities wrestling with these tough questions.
Exactly. How do we preserve our history, protect our environment,
right?
All while respecting individual rights. It's an ongoing conversation.
Yeah, it's a balancing act.
It is. And Penn Central, it reminds us how complex that balance can be and how much is at stake.
Exactly. It's not just about one building or one landmark.
Yep.
It's about the future of our cities, our communities.
And the way we live together.
Yeah. And that conversation continues. You know, it's still going on today.
Oh, absolutely.
In this case, Penn Central, it's like a landmark in that conversation.
A turning
point. Yeah, it really helps us understand the issues at play.
Definitely. So as we wrap up here, I want to leave our listeners with a final thought.
Okay.
You know, Penn Central didn't give us all the answers, but it did give us the right questions to ask.
That's a good way to put it.
So as you're out there living your lives, think about these things. Think about the costs, the benefits, what's at stake.
Yeah.
Have those tough conversations.
Right.
And remember, it's all about finding that balance.
Finding that balance. That's the key takeaway. Well, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Penn Central v. New York City.
It's been a pleasure.
We hope you've learned something new and maybe even gotten a little more curious about property law.
Me too.
And until next time, keep those legal minds thinking.